Money FM 89.3, best of the evening runway. Why it matters.
Money FM 89.3. It is the evening runway. I'm Elliot Danker. Time now for Why It Matters. And if you're curious about where branding trends are headed in 2024, you want to listen up because these branding trends are consistently evolving alongside trends in, say, fashion, interior design, pop culture, general consumer taste as well. Well, knowing these trends gives a company the upper hand in communicating their products and services to the right customers. Now, along with a memorable first impression, branding is a critical part of a company's marketing and brand identity. So for 2024, will we be seeing a shift towards more authentic, no-nonsense branding with a heavy emphasis on emotional connection to people? That's what people tend to say. We'll find out. Plus, where sustainability stands in all of this. And on the line with me is David Haig, who is Chairman and CEO of Brand Finance. David, good evening. How are you?
Good evening. Hi. Very well. Very well.
So Brand Finance, of course, one of the world's leading brand valuation consultants. Consultancies. Let's understand brand value a little bit, David. I suppose you're the best person to tell us, what does the term brand value mean?
It means the economic value of a brand to your enterprise, whether it's a commercial enterprise or a not-for-profit or a country or whatever. How much economic value does a brand add?
Okay, from your perspective, why is it important for companies to understand brand value? I get the economic side of it, but why the importance?
Well, I think the real thing is that if you're looking at any enterprise, let's say companies, they have a number of stakeholders and you want to appeal to those stakeholders so they do things which are economically beneficial to you. So if it's staff, you want them to join you and work for you and be loyal and build the business. If it's financiers, you want them to lend you their money at a slightly lower rate. But above all, if you're customers, you want the customers to be loyal, buy more, pay more. So each stakeholder has to be appealed to. The thing I would say about branding is that, you know, visual branding, the idea of branding has been around for many, many years. The thing which is growing is the financial recognition that they do actually add value, and therefore finance people are prepared to invest in.
Okay. So since we've set the terms right, David, I wonder, are companies forgetting this aspect when it comes to their products?
Well, I think it depends by geography and by sector. Okay. If you take somewhere like America, which is the home of really the home of modern branding and the home of fast moving consumer goods branding, the arguments have been very clear and accepted for many, many years. And there's no surprise that probably half the world's marketing budgets are spent by American companies. Out here in Asia, and you know, Brand Finance has actually been in Singapore for 25 years next year, I think the arguments are not so clearly articulated at board level. There's a belief that it's more of a trading environment and, you know, it's about price rather than about investment in brand equity.
Mm. And I find it quite interesting you bring up how Brand Finance in Singapore for almost 25 years. I wonder how Brand Finance comes into this equation, especially, you know, when you consider the value of brands has changed post-pandemic.
Yes, definitely. Well, but again, it depends on the sector you're talking about. Okay. If you're looking at groceries and goods of that kind, I was just speaking to somebody the other day from Unilever who was saying that the combination of COVID and the financial crisis, you know, the affordability crisis for people, there has been a shift towards own label.
Right.
People are finding it easier to get out of the traditional brands. So Unilever and others have to fight harder to demonstrate that they are better.
Okay. So it's not fair to say that digital disruptions have caused this sort of change in trend or change in brand trends. Would you say consumer priorities then perhaps have affected that change?
Oh, yes. I think digital trends have affected it a lot. First of all, in the way that brands communicate, because now social media is probably more important than conventional advertising.
Okay.
But also distribution and delivery has changed out of all recognition. So, you know, the Amazons of the world have really shaken up the retail environment. And so, yes, digital affects all sorts of things.
Right. What about economic uncertainty? Is that a fair point to bring in where, like what I mentioned earlier, consumer behavior affecting that brand value?
Yes, I think, let's face it, economies go in cycles. There have been depressions before. There have been recessions before. We're apparently going into a bit of a down period, though how long it will last, who knows. And always during those recessionary periods, people move away from luxuries, and the luxury sector is currently suffering. They move towards basics, and they look much more towards price. So brands have to struggle a lot harder to clarify the reason why you would pay more for it.
Fair enough. Here's where I get into the sensitive point. We've got a US presidential election happening toward the end of this year. A lot of talk about Donald Trump potentially returning to this. And you would associate the word protectionism with the first term of Donald Trump's presidency. Protectionism, how do you see that potentially affecting brands as we move forward in the coming years?
Well, certainly in America, very significantly, because, and it's not just Donald Trump. I mean, if you look what Biden has done in terms of the what they call the inflation reduction legislation, I mean, basically that is subsidies to American manufacturers to stop imports coming in. And, you know, they're trying to onshore from China back into America. Although I did hear the other day that actually the main beneficiary of that has been Mexico. So near shoring. So because the costs are still much lower there. So it's coming back from China to Mexico going to America. But there's no doubt under Trump, it will become a lot more protectionist.
Yeah.
He really wants to stick up for Americans, in inverted commas.
Now, David, we understand that you spoke at the International Advertising Association's annual World Congress. This was held in Penang. You presented findings from the latest Sustainability Perceptions Index. Tell us a little bit more about this index and the methodology behind it.
Yes, well, since day one, really, Brand Finance has had three areas that we believe the attributes affect choice. One is a functionality of a brand. Does it do what it's meant to? Secondly, the emotional impact. You know, is it my kind of brand? But then thirdly, the conduct or behavior of the brand. 25 years ago, when I was first here, the last one of those was not really as important as the first two. But increasingly nowadays, the third one, conduct or sustainability or ESG, however you want to describe it, is increasingly important. And we've just done this major piece of research around the world where we found that in some sectors, the importance on brand choice is only about 5 to 10%. Mm. But in other sectors, it can be higher than 20%. So, for example, in luxury, luxury is an area, surprisingly, where sustainability is a very key discriminant as to which brand you go with.
Yeah, we've seen some of these commercials that they put up or advertising that they put up, and they get a lot of criticism behind that. And on that note, I wonder, David, do you see how some of these big brands or even luxury brands potentially losing billions from a poor management of, let's say, ESG perception?
Yes, that's absolutely true. Well, in fact, the study we've done highlights what we call greenhushing and greenwashing.
Right.
And so if you take a typical brand, its actual performance of sustainability issues may be one thing, but the perception may be much higher. And therefore, customers are going to that brand. But the second they find out about the fact that it's not performing as well as they thought, demand will drop off.
Okay.
So in other words, they're greenwashing their brand to get extra demand. A very dangerous thing because it can drop off. But there are many brands that work in the opposite direction, where they're actually doing a lot better in reality than people believe. And so what they need, and that's what we call green hushing. Mm. They need to find a way of letting consumers know that they're better than they think. A lot of companies are just very shy about their sustainability performance.
Right. David, another interesting thing that you presented was Brand Finance's Global Most Valuable B2B Brands Index. Based on the index, which B2B brands are the most valuable, the most strongest here?
Well, here in Asia, it's quite largely Chinese brands because there are an awful lot of very large engineering, utility, banking and other B2B brands in China. But, you know, throughout Asia, there are a lot of B2B brands. You know, the Kaibols in Korea. There's a lot of conglomerates here in Singapore. There's a lot of heavy industries. There's a lot of B2B going on.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most interesting things about our B2B study is that when we did the study first time last year, we found that about 50% of all brand value worldwide is derived from B2B brands. We were a little surprised. We thought it would be lower. But when you think about it, B2B brands are everywhere, and they make a big difference.
And how much, and if you don't mind me just asking, how much of sustainability perceptions overlaps with these B2B brands?
Well, very much so, because, you know, when you're talking about individual consumers, they form their own view about the importance of sustainability, and it varies between 5 and 20% in their effect on brand choice. But where it comes to B2B, very often they have procurement requirements where if you're not meeting the ESG standards, you just don't get on the pitch list.
Right. And what's interesting as well, I mean, on the back of that, right, the study also found that almost $1 trillion of brand and business value remains untapped by the world's top B2B brands. Now, why is that so? And just out of curiosity, how much does that have to do with the sustainability index? Or am I barking up the wrong tree there?
Well, no, what that really is related to is the fact that many companies have not yet woken up to the fact that B2B brands are very important for getting extra demand. They need to spend more money on marketing is the
bottom line of it. Right. So in that sense, if they spend more money on marketing and spend more money on perceptions, just to overlap that a bit, that really increases that brand value.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, many, many brand, B2B brands don't spend enough on their advertising and marketing, and that needs to get through to boards. They need to.
Actually, on that note, I know this is a really back-to-basic question. Not spending enough on marketing, how much do you, in your opinion, does that have to do with the fact that maybe they don't even understand their brand value to begin with? They can't even get step one right.
Well, yes, absolutely. But the other thing is that there's a lot of academic studies that suggest that when you spend money on advertising, about 60% of it goes to the long term beyond year one, and only about 40% contributes to current sales. Mm-hmm. And a lot of boards are very reluctant to invest in marketing that won't come back for a year or two. So they tend to underinvest, and therefore their brands suffer.
Okay. Any thoughts on the correlation between brand contribution to business value? Is that somewhat what you've just described?
Well, I mean, our calculations say the value of brands is roughly 15 to 25% of most companies.
All right. So I've been speaking with David Haig, Chairman and CEO of Brand Finance. David, I appreciate your time today.
You're welcome. Very nice to speak to you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at audio.sg or download the audio app. That's AWEDIO, audio at the App Store and Google Play.